News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK. Mark Lawrence here, Rob Center there, our fabulous producer, making sure that everything's going satisfactorily. And when this interview is finished after this 7:15 a.m. start and the 7:40 a.m. start, he'll make sure that the archives are up and you'll be able to listen to the whole interview on the WKOK podcast page. With that, we welcome two guests to our studio. Chris Lavanish is here. She's director of the Milton Public Library. Just a super busy place that's happening up in Milton. We've talked a little bit about its renovation years ago and then some of the good programs along the way in the vegetable garden a couple years ago. So is that still going up there?
It's still going. We have vegetables. Come on over.
Okay. So, yeah, you can borrow vegetables and keep them, I guess you could say. And there was a program underway that where you were going to rent space if you just wanted to plant your own particular garden there. Is that still there?
That is still there this year. Next year, I think we're going to do away with that, make it just kind of free and available. You do programming around it, kind of make it more community-centered, and, you know, the library is free. Come on over. Let's try to plant some things again.
Right. Use the whole situation. Okay. Fabulous. So Chris Lavanish directing that Milton Public Library. And Kathy Vinios is back. We've talked to her about a number of things in the past. Time, the Improved Milton Experience. She helps out with that. And she is an administrative assistant at the Bucknell's Humanities Center. So really just to making sure that some of the good programs there get glued together and some of those egghead professors don't get too scattered and you try to get them refocused as much as possible. Right, as much as you can. How's that for an introduction?
Well, that's pretty special, Mark. I have to say, the folks I work with at Bucknell are really, really a great family.
Well, yeah, and we've met some of them working on with the, primarily the River Group, but some of the other folks, yeah, history and art and poetry, and we're just so enriched by knowing them and having met them, and some of the other work that you've done with Ms. Professor Stuhl, working on the Agnes anniversary too.
Yes, so that was part of the humanities programming series this year.
Right. So, yeah, just so many good things coming out of Bucknell. And Bucknell has adopted Milton. Is that something that you would agree with?
Well, first of all, Mark, thank you so much for having us today. We greatly appreciate this opportunity. When I had thought about a good partner in this project, I immediately turned to Chris as a new director of the library and thought it might be a good fit for our first public-facing humanities initiative. And so that's how that all started, was a phone call.
So that's how Milton was chosen. But and initially, I was really speaking more broadly. You're specific, but I was thinking broadly. I think of the way the vegetable garden and the Lewisburg Community Garden has targeted the Milton Food Bank, and the students do that, and the way the Agnes anniversary focused somewhat on Lewisburg, but on Milton, too. Mm-hmm. So Bucknell just loves Milton. There's just no other way around. And of course, you're from Milton.
I am.
A good Milton resident. So that's an important thing. Well, we are going to talk today primarily about living history, a community perspective, and observations during COVID. So who wants to start out and walk us through precisely what that is? Kind of set the scene. What is this living history initiative? Chris?
Yeah, well, I'll let Kathy start us off, because really the whole idea was driven by Kathy through her hard work and her initiative. So, Kathy.
Okay. Living history, community perspective, and observations.
Well, the Living History Project, as we so call it, was my personal idea that I pitched to the director of the Humanities Center, Maria Antonaccio, and the faculty ambassador for the Confounding Problems Mellon Grant, Professor Claire Campbell. And then we went on to the next phase where we asked the dean's office, and we had permission from the associate dean and the dean to go forth with this project, which, being the first public humanities facing initiative. It was a little bit of a nail biter. I wasn't sure it would get approved, and it was approved. And so the intent of the Living History Project is to introduce kids and teens and adults to the idea of community memory, local history, what an archive is, and of course also about the centrality of the Milton Public Library. You know, for me personally, the library is the heart of the community. It is the hub where families go, and it's free and it offers so many opportunities. So I had contacted Chris and pitched my idea about this project.
All right, and so you are making sure that folks know, and especially young people know, that the COVID-19 pandemic that we experienced wasn't just an unusual year, that this was a historical year. It will be remembered, it'll be documented, and the library is going to be a focus of where these things will go.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and part of that is, you know, what does living history really mean? You know, like, excuse me, from a community perspective, like, our collective experience is important, you know, for our town. But also, you know, like, history is shaped by narrative as well as, you know, documented facts and things. So it's all important to talk about, you know, not only what's happening, but how it felt too. And I think part of the focus is to get everyone talking about, you know, how we're feeling. What was it like for you? That's important. And it's important to ask everyone.
All right, so you have a situation where people are living through this, and they may think, okay, so this is somewhat important. But maybe to kind of begin with the end in mind, the Humanities Program wanted to make sure that this is documented through people's impressions now. So 100 years from now, which you're a fan of local history as it already was, Kathy, so you wanted to make sure that this, if 100 years from now somebody wanted to find out what happened during the pandemic, this would be available.
Yes. That was what kind of popped in my mind back in November. I was working from home, as many of us were doing, and there was some sort of comment on the television news that morning, and it really hit me, and it caused me pause to say, you know, what is history? It wasn't something that I would personally think about on a routine basis, but then as I paused and I thought, history is narrative, it is photographs, it is drawings, it is that individual collective pieces that tells the story 200 years from now. And I'm part of living it, personally. And so what do I want my great-great-great-granddaughter or grandson to say, to read about my experience during this journey?
And why are children's impressions so important here?
Well, I think it's easy to, you know, automatically go to adults, to automatically, you know, like, they have the loudest voices, you interact regularly with adults, but children and teens in particular, too, you know, that perspective is, you know, uniquely valuable to fleshing out the entire experience. So we don't want to just look at one part of our community. We want to look at the community as a whole.
Well, and kids say the most truthful things sometimes
and
the most,
really?
You know, most candid observations, which can be helpful and not helpful depending upon the situation, but really they kind of call it like they see it. Okay, so the Living History Community Perspective and Observations really has been a season. We're nearing a milestone. I'm not going to call it a wrap-up because it ain't over, but we're nearing a pretty significant milestone at the end of the busiest part of this living history. Explain what has happened up to now and what happens this weekend.
I'm going to ask Chris to share the library's perspective on that. She's been busy planning.
So we've had a number of events throughout. Do you want to talk me to talk about the wrap-up, or do you want me to talk about some of the events up to?
The first things and then the wrap-up. So what has happened up to now?
Well, we had our first event on May 22nd. It was kind of like our kickoff. We invited, you know, the community. We introduced the project. Kathy spoke. Maria Antonaccio, Dean of the Humanities, she spoke, and then, you know, all of the events, everyone, all the community partners, they also spoke. What was great about that was giving the introduction to the community, and there were 60 plus people in attendance. You know, we had it outside, but what was great was the creative writing group from Milton Public High School, or from Milton High School, came, and one of the teens who participated in this as part of their kind of wrap-up read her story and spoke, and it was inspiring. It was moving. You know, I cried because basically she said, you know, after all this, I don't want to go back. I want to move forward and I want to be better. It was a message of hope. It was really incredible. So that was, you know, our introduction to the program, and it was a really great kickoff. Since then, you know, we've been working with children, teens, and adults to kind of support the program through other programs. So last weekend we had Jennifer Cosman from Bucknell. She's an associate history professor. She came and talked about, you know, the parallels between the 1918 pandemic and COVID. You know, it was really enlightening. So this weekend on the 17th, we're having our kind of summer reading wrap-up party, but that's not the end of this project at all. We're doing a time capsule. People are going to submit things to come back next year to read and see kind of where they were this year and start the new year fresh. So this project, our hope is, will continue on.
All right. We want folks to know they can go to MiltonPALibrary.org or bucknell.edu/academics/beyond-classroom/academic-centers and institutes and humanity centers. That's kind of a long speak, but you will definitely get, if you go to the Bucknell website, bucknell.edu, put in the living history, especially in capital letters. You're doing this in caps, and so it actually searches so much easier. So thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of entries for living history. And the wrap-up is this weekend, and it is on Saturday. It all starts at 10 a.m.?
11 a.m.
11 a.m., okay. So that's taking place. Yeah, 11 a.m. is the start of that. We're going to put the whole schedule at WKOK.com, and it is at MiltonPALibrary.org. We'll talk about the wrap-up activities and get more about this and dig into the, I'll call it the swag bag, but this is a giveaway kit. But it's really a living history kit for primarily young people to take home, and they really help them to solidify this history that was made during the pandemic. Kathy Vinios is here, Administrative Assistant of the Bucknell Humanities Center, and Chris Levanish is Director of the Milton Public Library. We're going to continue this conversation at 7:40.
News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here, Rob Center there, and we have two great guests in the studio talking about a living history event that's going to reach a milestone this Saturday. Living History, Community Perspective and Observations. It's being put on by the Bucknell University, Bucknell Humanities Center, and the Milton Public Library, and there's a lot of other partners and sponsors. We invite you to go to MiltonPALibrary.org, to the Bucknell website, and make sure that you find out about some of the sponsors. Patronize the sponsors if they are businesses or nonprofit organizations, and just be a supporter of these folks in our community. In the studio, Kathy Vinios is here, Administrative Assistant at the Bucknell Humanities Center, and if you haven't heard about the Humanities Center, they have just been working hard to make sure that local history, that built-out community in our area is always brought up and talked about, documented, and milestones noted. And so she wears that hat today. So welcome aboard.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for being here. And Chris Levanish is here, the director of the Milton Public Library. Started at the library less than a year ago, right in the heart of the pandemic. So she's still just excited to be in Milton, not wearing a mask anywhere. So
it's really true. Yeah. Thanks for having us, Mark.
So yeah. So you came on board at a time where everything was different, and you wouldn't know what the new the normal was even if you tried. So, but I think we've alluded to that one of your speakers at one of your events, a student made a reference to the fact that maybe going back to normal isn't all that worth it. Maybe the good old days weren't that good. You know, so that maybe we can be better, or the new normal could be even better for us. Living History, Community Perspective perspective and observations during COVID. Re-explain to our audience what this effort has been that's focused on Milton. We'll start out with Kathy. Why don't you recap that, please?
Well, the Living History Project is an opportunity to invite the community to come to the library and pick up a Living History community archival kit. And we've put these together so that folks can pick them up and write themselves into history so that we can document your experience with the COVID pandemic and have it as an archive in the Milton Public Library.
And the overall goal is to make sure that the pandemic has been talked about as a historical event, that it affected people, it impacted our lives, it changed us, it's going to cause a lot of changes, and that this is documented, brought up, and that we're given a reflective moment to say, how has it changed us?
Yes. I mean, it's funny. When you think about the last 17 months, all of our lives were upended by this health crisis. And there's times that you can focus on the sadness and the loneliness, but there's also joy. There's so much joy and kindness that occurred in our communities, people bringing people food, running to the grocery store, things, all sorts of things like that. And so it's important to get that written down or have a child draw remembrances of seeing acts of kindness or even remembrances of loss. You know, grandparents passed away, aunts and uncles passed away. So it's important to write it down and talk about it, and then have it available for generations to come.
Well, yeah, having these books and these things written down and videotaped and everything else for the future is important. And that's why you want young people to make sure that they're doing this so that they'll know this archive is there. Of course, they're part of the history. They may have just thought of it as an unusual year, but Chris, you're here to tell us that kids' perspectives are critically important here.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you're wise to point out, you know, to take a moment to reflect. I think it's easy to get caught up in our daily lives, you know, regularly, and being that there is some kind of fatigue with dealing with the pandemic, I think taking a moment to reflect and particularly asking children and teens, you know, young adults, you know, how was it for you? You know, taking that minute to reflect on, you know, how you're feeling, recognizing that you're part of a community, you're part of a collective, and we've all been experiencing, you know, this life-changing event, and what does that look like for you?
Well, and the stress of some of the pandemic's aspects really glue them to our memories. Mm-hmm. It makes them stick, I think, better. And so I think kids are going to walk away with some great memories. Tell us about the kit, how it got distributed, how it's getting distributed, and what's in it. I just think that is fascinating, this history kit.
Well, I'll open it up a little bit, and then I'll pass it over to Kathy. When Kathy brought this idea to me, part of it was that there would be a take-home element, and that's to encourage participation, and also to give more opportunity to reflect. You know, it's not just a single event, you know, like we're really taking the time to look back. And so the elements were really a lot of Kathy's brainchild. So, Kathy.
Well, I want to say shout out, thank you to our digital designing team at Bucknell University. Mm-hmm. They did a wonderful job in creating our little green fellow with the mask, and he's our logo for the whole project. But in the take-home living history kit, we were very purposeful in the things that we provided to families. We have them split out by age groups from as young as five all the way up to adults. And we want people to take the tools home and use the tools such as the colored pencils or the multicultural crayons, the journal, the drawing sheets. We even have a coloring sheet in some of the younger age participants so that they can color. You know, perhaps they color differently today than they did a year ago, you know, depending upon their stress level. And what it's really all about is, even though Bucknell University Humanities Center is providing the funding for the supplies to go home, and it's yours to keep while the supplies last, it's about having that conversation at the family table. You know, in the fit of all of this pandemic around us, we're all so conscious and worried and focused, and we're at this little tip of a pin thinking about me this very second. And now we're at a pause where things are starting to slow down. We're feeling hopeful about the vaccines working. And you can pause and say to your kids, so what happened the last 17 months? How do you feel today about the things that we've endured? Who was your hero through all of these 17 months? You know, I mean, some families tried to shelter their children from all of the angst and make it feel like every day was just normal, other than, you know, not going to school. But
or if you started kindergarten with masks and screens, you might think that's normal.
That's normal, right? So. Right. And you know, whoever thought that? You know, I'm a plumber's daughter, so I never thought in a million years that toilet paper would be the number one thing that I needed to worry about.
Okay. So, right. So yeah, all the different things.
Right. Yeah.
That happened that were noteworthy that kids might not think of as significantly abnormal. And from a librarian's perspective, this is, you must be thinking, oh my gosh, this is our time. You get to Milton in the middle of a pandemic, everything's got to be documented and written down, and everything you're doing is already a first time for you as a new director, but you're thinking, boy, this is strangely unusual, or you're overseeing an empty library for a time. That's got to be difficult.
It was different, that's for sure. You know, but this kind of, you know, this kind of project, it's something that, you know, across the country, you know, libraries and universities, you know, we are not the only ones to recognize that this, you know, this is unique and you know, but what's unique about our experience is that it's Milton. So you know, I have not been unaffected the same as everyone else, but what I like to think about the struggle or the difficulties is that there's a lot of opportunity here, and the opportunity is really, you know, to look outward in the community, but also to look inward too, and then really to build up kind of what is our local history and really focus on that. I think as a small public library, that's an important part of our job.
All right, so invite folks to Saturday summer reading program, wrap-up party, and the Living History Community Perspective and Observation during COVID period is, that's reaching a milestone, but we'll continue in the summer reading program wraps up. So invite us to those events with more details, please.
Yeah, so Saturday is our summer reading wrap-up party. Originally, Kathy and I had spoke about ending the Living History series, you know, at that time. But, you know, as we got into the project, there has been some great success, and we realized we don't need to end. We can continue in some kind of fashion. So we invite everyone to continue to, you know, add their submissions, bring them into the library. On the 17th, it's really a celebration of our summer reading. We're going to do a dedication to a time capsule. I've got a lot of really great entries from a lot of young people about, you know, what they did this year, what they want to tell their future selves. And next year we're going to open it up and, you know, they'll read, you know, from their past. So I want to invite everyone to come. I will be there. I hope Kathy is going to be there. Please come. It's just going to be a fun time outdoors.
Yes, at 11 a.m. is the start time. When is the wind down time? Is it the rest of the day?
It'll be about an hour. We're going to play games, hand out prizes from the summer. We're going to have a pool party from 4 to 7. Then later that day, I invite everybody to come to Milton Pool. Some fun to celebrate, you know, the reading and the participation in the Living History series.
And how can I contribute to the time capsule?
Just write a letter to yourself, deliver it to the library, and make sure your name's on it, and we'll add it.
Dear Mark, where did you find a camouflage mask? That's what we want to know. And an additional comment from each of you. We'll start with Kathy. Anything else to say from Bucknell Humanities Center perspective?
Well, once again, Mark, I want to thank you and thank Chris and the Milton Public Library for taking on the Living History Project. I want to encourage all of our community storytellers out there to, you know, take out your pen or pencil and write down your feelings over the last 17 months and drop it off at the Milton Public Library. We're going to scan it, and we're going to separate our archive by ages so that you will be able to, at some point in the spring, we hope to print the book in the spring, and have it available that people can come and check it out and appreciate reading the stories of our community. telling their story of this time in a pandemic.
Anybody can Google Bucknell's Humanities Centers. Bucknell.edu would be a great place to start that search. And Chris, an additional comment?
Yeah, I'd like to also thank you, Mark, for having us. I'd like to thank Kathy Bucknell, the whole crew over there. I would just invite everyone to come to the library, check out what we're doing, be part of this important, you know, community document that we're creating. We want to hear from everybody.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris Lavanish, director of the Milton Public Library, talking about living history, community perspective, and observations during COVID. Lots more information at bucknell.edu and miltonpalibrary.org. We thank our guests for coming on today.